Welcome back to the Xbox Insider podcast. This is our official podcast. We're just going to go ahead and speak with you guys about the Xbox 360 world, new releases coming out, some of the news of the past week, and just talk a little bit about Xbox. I'm joined this week by Aaron, Marth989.
Hey, guys.
And also by Jason, Gamertag Pesmare.
Hello, all.
And I'm Edward, Gamertag Tamazander. So without that much going on, just like to let you guys know, we're going to jump in with the news of the last week. And also, just a reminder, stick around until the end of the podcast, and we'll be announcing our next contest.
All right, in the news of the last week, firstly, Bioshock 2. For all those that have been hankering for this, it has now has a final release date of February 9th, 2010. So, you know, if you've got some leftover money from Christmas, you can go spend it on that. It's going to be a great game. Everyone's excited. Left 4 Dead 2 has been officially banned by the classification board in Australia. Without ranting too much, they think that the classification board has said that the violence is too extreme in this game. I think it's because of the decapitations. Ironically, we can have, you know, sex and drugs in games, but we're not allowed to cut people's heads off. Like I said, won't rant too much about it because it affects me mostly, but we'll move on. There's two new bundled 360 SKUs, both Forza 3 and Modern Warfare 2. Anyone that's been kicking around the intertubes over the last week has seen the special edition Modern Warfare 2 console, and it looks amazing. Some people don't agree, but it sort of a gunmetal grey sort of look with a bit of writing on it. It looks very, very nice. It also comes with the game. I think the normal edition of the game, is that right? Anyone?
Yeah, the standard edition.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, the standard edition of the game and 250 gig hard drive and two wireless controllers, which is great. And they're also releasing a Forza 3 bundle, which is fairly the same. I think it's the standard console rather than a limited edition console, but it comes with Forza 3 and same 250 gig and two wireless controllers. And finally, the 250 gig hard drive for the 360 was announced that it will not be sold separately. Probably not a bad thing due to the price they'd probably charge for it. But for anyone looking for a bigger than a 120 gig hard drive for their 360, they're out of luck unless they want to buy that limited edition console.
I don't think that's a bad thing. I'm not thinking that's a bad thing because what I'm really thinking myself is a lot of people have the Pro that does not have the HDMI.
The 20 gig.
The 20 gig that does not have the HDMI on it. Now, I know I have the one that does have HDMI, the 60 gig one.
Me too.
If I actually had one that I had for a long time, if say my 20 gig lasted a lot longer than I expected, or lasted a lot longer than it did, and then it finally died a little bit after, I would actually be upgrading to most likely the one with the bigger hard drive. So, I mean, in my opinion, and I really don't see any reason anyone would, I don't know. I'm just saying a lot of people would want that HDMI upgrade, I would think.
But even with stuff like the arcade console, what happens if you want to buy an arcade console and whack a hard drive on it later? You don't want to go, oh, geez, I'll just get the 120 gig, even though it's like half the size of the one that's currently out there.
Mm. You see, I've got the HDMI, but it was the original 20 gig. And as soon as I could, I upgraded to the 120 gig hard drive. Mm. And I would like the 250 gig, but I don't want to have to buy a new console just to have the 250 gig hard drive.
Yeah, but you probably paid through the nose for the 120 gig itself, so.
No, I got it from my work, so I got discount, but it was still £90, 90 GBP.
Oh.
So, like,
expensive.
Almost like $200 American, maybe $220, $240 Australian.
Yeah.
Which is too much. Really expensive. I like to have everything as best as I can. That's why I'd like to have the 250, but I'm not going to buy a brand new console just to have the 250 gig hard drive.
Unless yours fails.
Well, the only thing you could do, I suppose, is you could trade in your old console for price against it, but probably be your best idea. But now mine won't fail now. I have faith. I have faith that my sixth Xbox will not die on me.
Mine red-ringed this morning, but it came back, thankfully.
Just like a near-death experience.
It is. You feel lost after that.
My fan was making a funny noise the other day. Well, no, not the fan on my Xbox, but the fan that was in the power brick started squealing, and I got really upset, so I turned it off and blew the fans, and then came back an hour later and it stopped doing it.
Nice.
Mine did that one time before. It just dust on the power brick, and I got scared. I got really scared.
It makes a really high, like, whistling kind of scream, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And I had to, like, pretty much just, like... But, I mean, I never thought to clean that, you know what I mean? Yeah, so, I mean, I never...
Most people don't even have a fan in it.
Yeah. See, I have cats, so I clean mine. I brush the intake valves off mine, like, once a month, because it gets cat fur stuck on it.
Hey, what's a cat fur?
Eating.
For keeping the cat warm.
Okay, that's not the next week's releases. Okay, next week's
releases. You're fired, Ed. Take your stuff and go.
Sorry, bad jokes will not be tolerated.
Zero tolerance of bad humor.
Okay. And on to next week's releases. On the Xbox Live Arcade, everyone will be getting Zombie Apocalypse, I hope, because I know most people will notice from last week's podcast that we told you Panzer Tactics would be coming out, and then it didn't, and we had Red Alert 3, which was a bit strange, but I assure you that's how we were informed, and there's nothing really we can do about that post-podcast recording. Okay, then, in the UK, the releases are Halo 3 ODST, obviously the big release on Tuesday, which has scared most of the bigger releases out of September. But then we've got Braves, A Warrior's Tale, Guilty Gear 2 Overture, Guitar Hero 5, the version that comes without the guitar, the Solace version, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2, and Stoked. Then in America, there is Halo 3 ODST, obviously coming out on the 22nd, same as in the UK, and Black College Football Experience, the Doug Williams edition, which I have no idea about, so I'll swiftly move on to Australia. And then in Australia, once again, the big title of the next week will be Halo 3 ODST, Star Wars The Clone Wars Republic Heroes, King of Fighters 12 you'll be getting, that's a little bit later, we've all seemed to have got that in the UK and the US, Mini Ninjas, Mini Ninjas, we've also got that. Section 8, yep, we've got that as well, but you haven't. And Blood Bowl, that's what you'll be getting in Australia next week. And that's the releases.
So, Aaron, Jason, I'll start with you, Jason. What are you playing this week? What are you doing?
I've actually had a pretty full-on week. Like, there was no real big games coming out this week, and I know I've got to review ODST for the next couple of days, so I've been waiting for that. So I didn't want to really jump into anything, so I've just been going through cleaning up an old couple of games and finishing off some achievements. So I 100%ed this week. I 100%ed Prince of Persia plus the expansion. 100%ed Battlefield 1943, Tenchu Z. I'm pretty close to 100%ing Soul Calibur. I'm on the last achievement, and Skate 2. I also played a little bit of Trials. I played some Monopoly and some Rock Band. I also played some Left 4 Dead last night, just kicking around, playing some Left 4 Dead. And I'm also playing Need for Speed Shift, which is a lot of fun. What about you, Avron?
I was waiting for you. Jesus, why don't you just read off the whole list of Xbox titles? Well, as I'm quite sad and usually 100% my games as soon as possible, I've just been playing Defense Grid, great arcade game, only 800 Microsoft points, a lot of play in that, really fun, got good leaderboards.
Oh yeah, I was playing that as well.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh. I bet you're playing everything, right? You know, I know a game that, I'm playing that you weren't playing, Silent Hill Homecoming. I'm playing Silent Hill Homecoming.
It's not nice.
Yeah, I played the first couple of levels on that, which was quite fun. And if anyone actually has me on my gamertag, Mask989, added me up for any reason, like from the podcast or the forum, you will have seen that most of the time I'm playing Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare. And I just prestiged myself up another. I think I'm fifth prestige this week, which isn't too bad, seeing as I bought the game like 6 months after it came out. Definitely looking forward to Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Did you do the? Did you go hardcore and get the goggles?
The goggles.
Oh, night vision goggles.
No, I'm not going to buy the prestige edition. Those night vision goggles are just a pair of rebranded kids' toys. I'm not spending all that money on something like that. I was thinking about getting the veteran version, but
yeah,
that's like £70, and I was quite lucky. I picked up the standard edition of the game for $36.97. When its RRP is $54.99.
Bargain.
So I just picked it up, standard edition, cheap, fits in my DVD rack. So I don't buy a game to look at the pretty case. I buy the game to play the game.
Yeah, that's true.
The only thing that I was disappointed in, though, is the fact that the arcade game for Call of Duty 1, with the veteran edition, obviously you get the free code, don't you? But we've got to see the standard edition now. I'm going to have to buy that separately. So that's the only thing that...
Do you really want to play Call of Duty 1, though? After you've... Like, you've got Call of Duty 4, which is awesome. Call of Duty 2. You know, Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah.
Do you really want to go back and play Call of Duty 1?
I went back and played Call of Duty 2. It's a good game.
It is a great game, Call of Duty 2, actually. It's actually better than 1.
I've never played 1, so that's why I wanted to play.
I wanted to play
3, though. I know it's a bit... I don't like Treyarch's version of Call of Duties. I don't like 3 or World at War or the other ones that they've made. I don't really like Treyarch's take on the Call of Duty franchise, so I stick with Infinity Ward.
I played Call of Duty 3 on Wii, and it was a lot of fun.
Mm. 4's coming to Wii, isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I think so.
I've seen videos of it. Anyway, let's continue.
Yeah. Ed, what are you playing?
Ed? Yeah, because I really don't play Call of Duty, so I was like, oh, it's going to be quiet over here.
You should.
Make
an Xbox Insider clan when it comes out.
Rock on.
We could.
We could totally.
Let's make a sub forum. Yeah. Let's make a sub forum on that.
We've already clan. A forum for clans.
Oh.
No one ever really signed up for it. It's like one guy asked
for help. That really makes me look really stupid, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There's a secret forum I don't know about.
That's right, you have to do a handshake to get in.
No one taught me. Let's see. What have I been doing? I beat Transformers on the last podcast, so I was actually already done with that. But this week I've been trying to keep up and catch up with a little bit of the older arcade games that I've wanted to try but just haven't. Went ahead and played the Maw through and got all the achievement points there.
Maw.
Also went ahead and hit. Yeah.
Excellent.
I had the sound down because I couldn't stand that. No, I couldn't stand that too much. Arcadian Warriors, went ahead and 100%ed that. Also started playing some Puzzle Quest. And also Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters, great game, great movie. Everything about Ghostbusters is great. I can't say more good things about this. But I will have to say the bad things, of course, because that's what I do. Bad things about Ghostbusters. It appears that the community has disappeared already.
It hasn't been released in Australia.
And it hasn't been released in the UK.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a timed release, haven't we, in the UK?
Yeah.
3-month time, I think it is. A 3-month period. It'll be out on the PS3 before the Xbox.
Yeah.
So, if you want to know why your community on Ghostbusters is dead, Edward, I think you might want to ask Sony.
Wow.
Because they're the ones that it's the time release.
Indeed.
And I mean, that's a good thing, but in like some games, but I would not have gone for Ghostbusters being a timed release. I don't know. I just would not have been like, well, we need that as an exclusive for a couple of months, you know? I would not have picked Ghostbusters, and I think it's really going to impact or really hurt the sales of this game, I would say. But I mean, like I said, I'm really kind of upset about the community because it's hard to get a good game, and other than it being hard to get a good game, it's hard to and I know I've spoken about this on the podcast before. I like communication, and you need communication, and there's just none. But that's what I'm playing. I just actually beat Ghostbusters. I'm playing it through now on professional difficulty. And I guess I may have to, if everything goes like I plan, I won't have to do another playthrough. But if not, I have to do one more. So today I was speaking to a couple of people on Xbox Live to get into our main discussion here. And one of the things that we were discussing was rentals in video games. Basically the video game rental market and basically how different people treat it, how different people use it, and so forth. And I thought that was a really interesting topic. That's why I wanted to go ahead and speak with you guys a little bit about that and find out what you guys feel. Now, in the United States, basically there are, if you're doing rentals, I don't know if you guys have anything like this, but we have where you can either go to a store and rent it, which I'm sure you guys have. Also, we have various rental services that do rentals by mail, kind of like similar to Netflix, which I don't think you guys have, but I'm sure you guys have something comparable to those. One of the things that really upsets me with these things is especially, you've got to really think about, and one of the things that I have a problem with is quantity and availability of games. Now, with the store, you know, of course, stores have certain stock and can't hold things forever. That's one thing. Other than that, there's also availability on the rental services that you get going over the mail. Those have problems as well. With availability, one of the things that I did mention, and I was just wanting to know about you guys, if you guys use those, and of course, we can... a little bit about the pros and cons of those services. Availability, and so before we get into this a little bit deeper, what kind of services do you guys have?
In the UK, we've got basically Blockbusters, if you want to rent games like locally, like from a store, and they've got, like you said, quite a limited stock of what they've actually got for you to rent. And then obviously you've got Netflix. We've got something called lovefilm.com, which is an internet service that rents out movies and games via post, and it's kind of like a monthly subscription thing. You get a certain amount of movies and games a month for whatever you pay, and then there's an unlimited one as well. But not so much the quantities. I don't really do it myself. I know you do it a lot, Ed, because you assess a game and you decide whether or not it's going to be like a short or a long game. But I've had bad experiences in the past, like PS2, like quite a while ago, where I would rent a game and they would give me the complete wrong game, because the copies of the games that they have in the UK rental stores aren't standard copies of the game that have just got like the proper like disc cover printed on them. They've just got like the name written in very like tiny black writing on the front of the disc. So you think that you're getting like, well, I went to get Blood Rain, the first one on PS2, and I ended up going home with a copy of Bloody Roar, like 3 or something like that. Something I didn't even want to play. So I've had bad experiences, so I generally stay away from renting. What about you, Pez?
To be 100% honest, I haven't rented a game since my neighbor owned a Master System. Like, 100% serious. The last time I rented a game is I was 6. So I don't know how much of a how much comment I can give on this. I know that in Australia we don't have anything like your GameFly services you have in the, that's what it's called, isn't it? GameFly in the States, Ed?
Yeah, that's what we call it.
Yeah, GameFly. We don't have anything like that where you can pay a monthly subscription and get whatever the hell you want. Well, hopefully. We don't have anything like that. We have our local video stores, which is pretty much what people use occasionally to go out and get games. But it's fairly expensive if it's a game you think you'll be playing for a little bit. It's about $9 a week, which is about a tenth of the price of a game. Now, I know a lot of people don't normally go back to a game once they've finished it, but for me, I always like to have a copy of my games around, especially in games where they'll release DLC later that sort of surprises you, like Star Wars. I know that surprises us all for different reasons, Aaron. But that game's been out a while and they've just released DLC for it, so I didn't want to have to go out and hire it again. And I'd feel especially bad about buying DLC for a game I didn't own. For me, that's a bit weird. So I don't really do it. because I like to, like I said, I like to keep a copy of my games around. Plus, I don't know when I buy it when I'll want to play it. Like, I don't necessarily want to game buy a game play a game I just bought. It's pretty rare that I actually do buy a, play a game straight away. Like, I played a bit of Halo Wars when it came out, but then I put that down again. And I played Need for Speed Shift, but I bought that yesterday. But other than that, it's pretty rare that I'll buy it, play them straight away. Mostly because I also have to fight between me and my fiance who gets to play it and who doesn't. But yeah, so it's pretty expensive in Australia. So not many people really do it unless they, you know, they're only very casual gamers who just want to sort of paddle in the gaming pool without jumping right in.
Now, that's an interesting point about people who just want to, you know, and I know you mentioned it, and you're right, Aaron. I do decide on if a game is going to be something that I'm going to play for, you know, a week, 2 weeks, or if I'm actually going to play a game for much longer. Now, when I first got, I'm not against buying games, but one of the things that just kind of annoys me is the fact that a lot of the games that I have sitting there right now that I can see, I have not played in a while, and I don't have the desire to play them anymore. I mean, it's probably just like how I am, but you mentioned something that was very, very accurate, Aaron, and that is the problems with rental services. And I think for the most part, those problems cause problems with people not only using the services but coming back. Blockbuster. I didn't know the Blockbuster was over there, but that's pretty easy. That's pretty cool to know.
We have Blockbuster too.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, we all have Blockbuster.
We're all Blockbuster friends now.
Yeah, Blockbuster's branching out. Blockbuster. I have a Game Pass from Blockbuster that I picked up, and basically I pay like $21.99 American. A month, and I can just go and pick up any game and or movie, or game or a movie I want, and just one out at a time, because that's all I need. But it's a good thing. But like I said, I mean, there are problems. I've gotten games that have been scratched. I've gotten, you know, like I said, I mean, I know you said, Aaron, I mean, the availability at Blockbuster that I've had with actually getting games and getting the ones I want has been so low. They have not had Section 8. They get a whole bunch of copies of some games, and some games just not at all. So I know I'm kind of gambling, but like I said, I'm playing Ghostbusters now. I played Transformers last week. I knew I was going to play those games and be done with them and not touch them again. So, when I'm done here with Ghostbusters, I mean, the multiplayer I like, but I mentioned before, no community, I'm not going to play it anymore. So that's a problem. But on the opposite hand, with like the Gamefly mailing service, I spoke with someone on Xbox Live earlier today who got an account and went ahead and put 5 new releases at the time on his queue and went a month before he got one. He just didn't get sent anything. And I know you're thinking they service, you know, the whole United States. They must have enough copies. The thing is, yeah, and there's probably that many people that actually want a copy. So, again, you know, the problem is availability everywhere with these services. And you do kind of gamble with it. You do. I mean, you take a chance and... sadly enough, if it mattered to me to have the game I wanted when I wanted it, I would probably not be a renter, but probably be a buyer and flipper.
What?
Flipper.
Buyer and flipper. Not a adult. Yeah, the people that buy a game and exchange it, you know, a week later on the chance that they'll get $30 for it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You see, I take a completely different strategy towards video games. I don't think many people do what I do, but I think it's probably one of your best bets. Pez, by the sound of things, you just buy games when you want them, when they first come out, and then just don't play them.
That's exactly what I do. And I pay full price for them, and then I may not play them until later, which occasionally bites me in the ass with stuff like Star Wars, which I can now go out. Well, I can't yet, but I can eventually go out and buy the
Ultimate Sith Edition.
And I haven't played the game yet. I paid full price for it, and I haven't played it.
Yeah. And then, Ed, so you seem to, like, rent most of your games. So, like...
I do.
You don't really own any of them. So what I do is, if a game comes out and it's going to have multiplayer, and I know I'm going to play that, say... Halo 3, Call of Duty 4, Battlefield Bad Company, I buy it straight out because I don't mind paying full price for a game I know I'm going to play online. And then what I do with all other games, even things like Batman Arkham Asylum, I'm in no like rush to play that game. It's a single player experience. So,
but it's so good.
Yeah, but I'm just going to wait until it goes down to maybe, I don't know, £20 pre-owned at GameStation. And pick it up for half the price everyone else paid for it, because I'm in no rush to play it. It's a single-player experience. And that also means once I've finished playing the game, I get to keep it, which means if more DLC comes out, I can come back to it. And if it's already been out for a while, I can get that DLC straight away, like once it's come out. So I've done that with quite a few games. Well, like I said, I did it with Call of Duty 4 when that first came out, because I wasn't really a Call of Duty fan before 4. Wasn't really too big on the whole franchise. So what I did was I bought it with the Game of the Year edition, which came with the free DLC for £30, brand new. So I saved like £10 off the actual like standard retail price, and then at the same time got myself the DLC for free.
Yeah, that's true.
But
yeah, the problem with that is... actually, no, there's no real downside to that. Well, there is downsides on my side because I've got to friggin' review the games, and there's no point in me reviewing games that have been out and already down to half price.
Yeah.
So I don't have much of a choice, but you're lucky in the way that you don't have to do that.
Because like, things like Assassin's Creed, didn't play that straight away when it first came out, waited for it, picked it up for £10, brand new. So I've got it for a quarter of the original price. I get to keep the game so I can go back to it, although you probably wouldn't
want to
go
back. You don't want to, trust me. It's hard enough playing through it once.
Yeah, but it's a good game, but
it's not
long-winded.
It is long-winded.
Assassin's Creed?
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed is a game that was hyped more than it should have been.
Way more. I will say this, though. I am excited for Assassin's Creed 2 because it is different. It doesn't suffer the term I have liked to refer to as Assassin's Creed syndrome, where it's just the same stuff, repetitious. But this one looks like it is very different, which is exciting.
No. Either way, they should have learned their lesson, Ubisoft.
They did, obviously, because they're releasing a game that's completely different. Well, the same. Well, kept the bits in the same that were exciting and cook out the crap that, sorry, the stuff that wasn't. But I am excited for the new one.
Yeah, it does look good. Anyway, that's miles off track anyway, so. But renting.
What was I going to say? I was going to say one more thing about renting, but now I don't know.
That's all right.
It's all right.
We'll just wrap it up. You've had your say.
I like talking about Assassin's Creed.
It's fun.
Assassin's crap.
I'm just joking. I think you're funny,
no? The game isn't crap. It's just badly thought about. It was badly designed.
Oh, I loved
that. If that game had more side quests to do, and it had more actual, oh, I don't know, maybe assassinations.
Like, yeah, okay, that's one thing that got me. I know what you're talking about. But obviously,
I'm an assassin. I'm going to run into the middle of the crowd and take him on head on, and then run away from the guards. Not like take him out from afar and be awesome.
Yeah. We're all completely different then on the renting standby. Like Pez, you don't. You don't mind wasting your money and buying games straight out, even if you don't play forever.
I just piss away my money, obviously.
Blatantly. And then, Ed, you rent everything and then take it back the next couple of days like there's some kind of whore that you've borrowed for the hour.
Yeah, that's right. And he takes him back to his room, takes what he needs from him, and then they go back on the street.
And I wait for him to go cheap and then keep them forever, kind of like locked up in my room, like gathering dust. Do you want to wrap it up, Ed?
Please.
We can't wrap it up yet. We got a contest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Kool-Aid, motherfucker.
Oh, gosh. My virgin ears are bleeding.
Don't worry. We put it up as explicit.
That's right.
We are always explicit. Why is our podcast always explicit? We need to go ahead and scrub our mouths one week.
Because even if we don't swear, last week you were talking about pulling sausages out of Pez's bum.
Yes. No. Yeah. Yeah, Ed, you're disgusting. Seriously, I can't believe you kissed your mother with that mouth.
It's my fault we got explicit. Did we have to say we were explicit, or did it just automatically?
No, we have to.
I just
so that we don't get bent over the table and proverbially stuffed. Anyway, competition.
All right, there's a contest coming up. If you want a Kingdom for Keflings code for Xbox Live Arcade by NinjaBee, go to the forums, post in 25 words or less why you want the game under the competitions thread. And if you're... be inventive, be funny, be creative, be serious, be whatever. And if you're good, we'll choose you. So there's one code to give away. It'll be announced on next week's podcast. So like I said, please do go to the forums, sign up on the competition thread, 25 words or less, why you want the game.
And remember, people, it's enter your gamer tag at the bottom of your actual entry and only one entry per person.
I like Kingdom for Keflings.
I haven't played it.
I still play it. I don't know.
I might enter the competition so I can.
Really?
No.
Well, my only thing is like I have a super town I made. Super town.
Super town.
Oh, mine's amazing.
Yeah. So, and I don't know if I want to start a new town. Like seriously, like if I had like a couple of hours with somebody, I would start a new town.
If you had a couple of hours with someone, you'd rather play Kingdom for Keflings than do anything else.
No, I think he's using an analogy. He said he's trying to start a new town, so he's trying to repopulate it.
But
what he did there? Nice. Sneaky.
It takes me a couple hours.
Woo! Ladies, he's single. Dudes,
a couple
he's
hours.
Also single.
But nah.
One couple hours.
We should all play online when I buy it.
I think we should. We should have a Xbox Insider Kingdom for Keflings Day. And the winner gets... we put your name in the shout box on the forum. That is it for our podcast this week. We like
join
to
the
thank,
forums.
That's absolutely correct. Join the forums. And also, while you're there in the forums, be sure to register yourself for our contest, our Kingdom for Keflin contest. It's a very fun game. We're trying to bring some people back to the Kingdom for Keflin community. If you have not had a chance to play the game, this is an excellent time to play it. We're just trying to do some revitalization of those that community, which it deserves.
We're helping the people back on the plane.
We are helping them. That's what we're trying to do here. So come back to the forums, register, take a look around, join, and
subscribe on iTunes and file a good review for us on iTunes so we can get some more popularity.
The bad ones can go away.
To hell.
You can keep those to yourself. We're going to take out of here. We'll see you guys on the next podcast, which will be 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
You can last that long.
We do it for Aaron. We feel the love for Aaron.
We do. So I'd like to thank you for joining us this week, Jason.
Thank you.
And Aaron, of course.
Thank you kindly.
I'm Edward, and we'll see you guys next time.
Next time.
Next time.
Next fortnight.
Outro music. Do 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 do.
Wiki wiki.